You're tuned into the Portkey Cast, a weekly Harry Potter podcast where we follow the books chapter by chapter. Good afternoon, everybody. Today is Sunday. We normally don't record on Sundays, but when we recorded last Wednesday, we had a bit of a mix-up where one, Alicia was extremely sick, and my allergies were just completely full-blown acting up. We did record the whole podcast.
About an hour.
Yeah, it turned out to be a long one, which we didn't expect it to be, and it turned out it only recorded about 10 minutes of it.
Failure, yes. And then we said, let's go get some snacks and go home.
Yeah, we decided against re-recording. So we're recording today. I am Jonathan.
I'm Alicia.
And you're tuned into the Portkey Cast.
And I'm still sick, by the way, so I will cough.
Well, you are always sick.
I'm not
perpetually sick.
I'm not always sick. I've had a cough for like 2 months, and I think it's because my allergies, I can't breathe.
Well, you need to start taking some Claritin.
Yeah, probably.
So as I am a medical
professional,
I am like that kid who was in Florida who pretended to be a doctor.
That's good.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
Oh my god. But
he's in Florida. His name is. Surprise me. Go ahead.
You ready for this name? Mm-hmm. Malachi Love Robinson. I swear to God, that's his name.
You know, I think that Malachi was the name of like some evil sorcerer in some Disney movie at one point.
I thought it was in the Bible.
I didn't read the Bible.
Yeah, Malachi Love Robinson. He pretended to be a doctor. He was a kid. He used to walk around. Anyway, we can do a whole podcast on him, but that's not what this podcast is about. So we are on chapter 13, and it's Nicholas Flamel. Oh, Nicky Flem, as I made the joke last time, but you guys didn't hear it.
As he made the joke last time, and he keeps writing it down so that he remembers to tell it again, because it's that funny.
I think it's hilarious. I also call SpongeBob Spongy B, but you know, this isn't the SpongeBob podcast.
You do not call that Spongy B.
I do. I call him Spongy B. I call him Spongy B and P-Star. Those are my homies. You know? Sandy Cheeks is already a great name, so I don't have a name for her.
I really feel bad for Carissa.
Carissa is my wife, for those of you who do not know.
and she probably hates every minute every time you say that.
Yes.
Yes.
Welcome to the new listeners. We do have some new listeners that have reached out to us, and they think that we are hilarious. Joke's on you.
We're not.
We're not really hilarious.
We're stupid.
We're just really dumb. Yes. But welcome, 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 welcome. So we're moving on. We are on chapter 12, Nicholas Flamel. This is right after Christmas, the Christmas holiday. Hermione comes back a day early than everyone else, and she is she's upset because she's upset for multiple reasons. She's upset that Harry almost got caught running around the castle with his invisibility cloak, which he has not used since he was with Dumbledore in the room with the Mirror of Erised. But she is also upset that while running around, he found nothing about Nicholas Flamel.
She's having split personality.
Yeah, she's like, why? You're going to get caught. And if you're going to do it, why didn't you do what you should have done? But I do get her point. Like, if you're going to get caught. But he did. In his defense, he did go to the restricted section of the library.
He did, and that was completely wrong.
I mean, he should have kept going back, but I would have.
I don't know. If I picked up one book and it was the first book that screamed in my face, I would be scared to pick up any other book. There's no way that I would go back and pick up another book.
What if he would have picked up the book? Oh no! I can't. God, see, this ruins me. I can't make jokes because it has to do with stuff later on. Anyway,
I'm gonna keep looking over your shoulder every 5 seconds and make sure that we're still recording, because if we get all the way through this episode for the second time, we're skipping this chapter. But yes. I'm gonna be paranoid about it the entire time.
So they get back and they don't really have time to do much research because Harry has a lot of Quidditch, and he's really worried about it, because if they beat Hufflepuff, they take over first place for the Quidditch Cup. And they just found out that Snape is refereeing. Now, see, when I understand, I get it that this is a small little like boarding school type of situation, and the houses play each other and whatnot. But
The Hufflepuffs are the bottom of my mind.
Yeah, I would assume that they are too. But here's my thing. Why are the teachers, why isn't Madame Hooch always the referee?
I don't know. And when did, like, would you ever think that Snape would be interested in refereeing? And I think that was part of their, like, questions, like, when did Snape all of a sudden become interested in Quidditch?
Yeah, exactly.
Did he play on the Quidditch team?
No, not that.
They always made him seem like he was just a kind of book nerd. And
I don't think he did. Like,
he needed,
like,
to go play with his chemistry kit.
What we know of Snape, Quidditch was never referenced.
Yeah.
So now out of nowhere he's a qualified referee. I don't know. I know a lot of referees didn't play the sport that they ref, like in real life.
He just doesn't seem like the type that would.
Yeah, it's just weird. I think also maybe he volunteered. We never know this, so this is pure speculation. At least at this point it's pure speculation. Maybe he did it because so let's look at what we know, okay? By the children's eyes. Okay, so the kids think that he was trying to curse Harry in the last match. Mm-hmm. So maybe he's trying to get closer to Harry. And that's what they think. That's what the kids are thinking right now. So, which, if that's the case, that's a solid theory.
But at the same time, there's literally thousands of people with their eyes on these players and the referee at all times. Don't you think that they're going to notice if the referee's standing there, like, jinxing one of the players?
You know, one would presume. But these are also 11-year-olds.
Sure. Because you know when at a football game, every single time a ref makes one move, everyone's freaking out, screaming at them. There's literally no way that a ref would just be like...
Yeah, and there's like, I don't know...
I'm going to walk up to this football player and punch him in the face and no one's going to see. Like, it's not...
Please don't yell at me, because even though as much about as football as I do know, I don't know how many refs or umpires are on the field, because there's also umpires. But there's like six, I think, also including sideline judges and the ref and everything like that. And you know exactly
what every single one of those.
Which ref threw the flag? That flag comes out like that guy couldn't have thrown that flag. He's too far away. It's like, I get what you're saying, but there's also at some of these football games, like at the University of Louisville, for example, that's a 67,000 seat stadium.
Yeah,
I think it's a new number with the
expansion. 64 something. 64, it's close to 65.
It's crazy. And at, I have like, this the argument University a lot. Of Miami, we have a 70 seat stadium.
I have this argument a lot, so I know the number with UF fans, because I don't understand how their stadium holds so many people. I understand UF? It's benches, so you all have to sit on top of each other.
It's the way it's
angled. Yeah, I know. I know why. But also the benches plays into
that holds,
it.
That holds,
so
what, 90,000?
90-something thousand. Yeah, 92, I swamp? Think.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, okay, so we're going
to
go...
But I've been in there, and it doesn't look like it. Just
no.
It doesn't look like it at all, and I know that you have to sit on everyone's lap to be in there, so I don't care. I'll take my seats over your benches any day.
Same at the University of Miami. We have nice soft plastic seats that you sit in. And we always get in this argument with Florida State because they have to sit on metal benches. It's like, well, that sucks.
Yeah, UF has to sit on concrete benches, which I know you know.
Yes.
Literally just concrete slabs built into the wall.
Well, my first away game in college...
with, like, painted on lines and numbers.
Well, I was in the band at the University of Miami, and my first away game in college was at the University of Florida. This was 2002. Rex Grossman was the quarterback there at the time. And I swear to God, this was the loudest thing I've ever heard in my life. And remember, we had this conversation about, like, I don't understand how UF has the time to learn all these things.
Yes, because it's a cult.
Yeah, because they know their chomp. They know which way they have to sway. They all know the words to every song. And I'm just sitting here like, what the fuck?
We're going to have a college football podcast.
Yes. And but it was so loud there.
We will bring Robert into that one so he can argue with us on all the UF points.
It was just so loud. I was like, man, how is this? Anyway, so, but yeah, agreed. There's still 1,000-something kids. Let's say there's 1,000 students total at Hogwarts, right? Mm-hmm. They're all sitting there watching it.
Exactly. And you know exactly what every single person on the field's doing, especially Quidditch isn't that many players on the field.
I also want to point out that this is the first time in a while that the University of Miami, the University of Florida, and Florida State all lost football games. We did that this weekend.
U of L sucks this year. Yeah. Sorry, guys. It's been a rough season, and I have season tickets, and it's been a rough every single game.
Yes. So, Harry, Ron wants Harry to break his leg, right? He's like, if you break your leg, you don't have to play. But we learn later that it's really easy in the magical world for Madame Pomfrey, who's the doctor there, to fix bones. So if Harry broke his leg, go to Madame Pomfrey, oh, my leg's broken. She's going to blizz blow and leg fixed.
Yeah.
So I don't think that, I don't think Ron thought that out too well. And that's got, I mean, come on, like they don't have painkillers. And I mean, maybe they have like a pain, like a pain reliever curse or something, or like magic or whatever, but they ain't got, they ain't sitting there popping perks so he doesn't have to deal with Snape.
Just actually break your leg. It's fine.
That's right. So Neville comes
How easy it to actually break your leg?
It's not easy.
That he just suggests that. Like,
it's not easy. Like bones are so strong. Like I think they have the
I've never broken anything besides for my nose, which...
If I am wrong, I believe I heard this. So if I'm wrong, anyone can correct me on it because I really don't know. But I believe that bones have a tensile strength. I don't know what that means. Has a tensile strength stronger than steel. I don't know what tensile strength is. So whatever. I am not at all...
He's a doctor from Florida.
In this, yeah, I am Malachi Love Robinson. So, you know.
I did find out where that name was. That's why I was laughing.
Where's it from?
Malachi was... I remembered, like, as soon as you started talking again, that in the Vampire Diaries, when they do the, like, coven season, the Gemini coven.
I've never seen Vampire Diaries.
Okay, well, they do a season about the Gemini coven, and it was actually probably the best season they had. And he was, like, the evil warlock, and that's exactly what I was thinking he was.
Got it. So, Neville comes...
it was not from Halloween Town, which is what I thought it was from. But go ahead.
Halloween Town. I haven't seen Halloween Town in forever. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. We are way off topic.
Neville comes in the room with his legs binded together because Malfoy hit him with a leg lock curse. Everyone just kind of giggles at him while Hermione gets up to fix it, you know? Harry, being the nice person he is, gives Neville his last chocolate frog. And then Neville goes... I know you collected this the first time, but so if you go to Target or any, like, I think a lot of stores have them, but if you go to Target, they have these little mystery Lego Harry Potter characters. So inside the package, you don't know what's in there.
We never went to Books a Million last week.
We can go today.
They close super early on Sundays.
Oh, you're right. We didn't go because we felt like shit.
Yeah, we won't be done.
But yeah, so if you go, they have these little Lego Harry Potter characters, and you don't know what you're getting. You just open the package, and it is where it is. So I've gotten three, and I have Newt Scamander, Draco Malfoy, and Voldemort.
And he's so proud of them all.
They're awesome. But the only thing that's keeping me from buying another one is, what if I get Newt Scamander again? I don't need two Newt Scamanders.
Then you go with a friend. You have them buy one. You buy one. If they get one that you don't have, you switch.
I only have one friend that likes Harry Potter, and that's you. So yeah, so this is the same situation though with chocolate frogs.
I have one chocolate frog, and I don't even remember who the card is. I got it so long ago.
Well, that's the issue with it.
Chocolate frogs are so expensive at Universal, and I don't want to get the same one.
Well, exactly. So at least with a chocolate frog, you get some chocolate. You know, and this is how it used to be. You used to get cards with packs of bubble gum, right? When I was a kid.
Bubble gum.
So at least if you got the same cards, you at least got some gum. And this in the situation of the Legos.
You don't get anything else.
You don't get anything. You just get the Lego. So you're stuck with the same character. But so Harry gets Neville gets a Dumbledore. And Harry's like, oh, that's the first thing I ever got. He looks on the back and he's like, aha, there's that name. And it's Nicholas Flamel. And real quick, I wrote this down. I just want to talk about it for a second. So when they first were bringing Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone to America, the American publishing house wanted to change the name of it right away. But they wanted to change it to Harry Potter and the Wizarding School.
Which would be a terrible name.
Terrible. Or it was the School of Magic, something like that. But either way, it was horrible. Because the story wasn't just about the school. The story's about all this other stuff. And J.K.
And if they just did the Wizarding School, then what would it be? The Wizarding School 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7?
Yeah.
Like, each title played into what was going on in that book. Or the object in that book, or whatever.
100%. So, they... J.K. sends back, but the it was sent like an email, I guess, or maybe a letter. I can't remember. Or it was probably a letter because this is a while ago. This is probably before email was too popular. I guess AOL was around.
AOL has been around
since like 96. Yeah. So it might have been AOL. It might have been those days. But
I for sure had AOL. Oh, like, yeah.
For any kids who don't know what AOL is, you used to get these discs that gave you like 100 free minutes on the internet. Because before you have to pay to be on the internet. Now you pay, you just pay an internet service provider and you get unlimited minutes, or you get like, some people have like download. Like
they had them at Wawa, the
CDs. They were free. They were free too.
They had free CDs at Wawa and you just went and picked them up and.
Yeah, you pay, and then you had
you had this terrible sound when you logged in.
Mm-hmm. If you had 10 discs, you had 1,000 hours and you just had to keep creating names. Who cares?
Just like when you want to get 1,000,000 free trials now, you just make 1,000,000 names on Gmail.
100%. But yeah, so she emailed back, no problem. I'm excited for our first run of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. So originally the Philosopher's Stone was the original, is the British title and everything like that. So they talk about Flamel, who creates the stone, and the stone basically allows you to create gold from metal, and it allows you to basically live forever. And Nicholas Flamel is 652 years old, and his wife is like 658 years old. So obviously the stone is doing its job, and the kids speculate that that's why Snape wants the stone, because he can become rich beyond his wildest dreams, and he can live forever. And if that's all you had to do was have the stone, and you can create metal to gold, and you can live forever, I mean, I'm down for that, especially since they live off the gold standard. Like, we don't, but I mean, you could sell it.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, I'm down.
I mean, they have gold coins, so.
I mean, I would just like them to, can I convert, you know, metal to dollars?
Yeah.
Is that okay? But you got to buy the metal, though. Like, I mean, I paid for that, though. That definitely cost me money.
In one way or another, yes. But you can make more out of it.
Maybe. What about if the gold is like less than the amount of metal that's in this? Like, I do that and like take that gold that it turns it into, I take it to someone. They're like, all right, this is. Well, when you go to like gold, those places that we buy gold places, you can take a ring that you spent like my wedding ring, for example. Let's just say this wedding ring costs like $300, mm-hmm. right? And it's gold, it's palladium or whatever it's called. I don't know. But let's say it was solid gold and it costs $300. If I take this to those gold places, they look at it, they put that little thing on and they weigh it and everything. And then they say, I'll give you $75.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So it's like, but
that's for when you're, like real desperate and you just need money. Those are the kind of people who do that.
So if I sat there and I took all this metal and I turned it into gold and I take it to them and they give me like $100, that's really not that.
No.
But that's why it's good in the wizarding world, because they actually use gold as money. Yes. Where in the non-wizarding world, we don't do that. So yeah, so that's pretty much what it is, and then they talk about that for a minute, and they talk about how like they were looking in the wrong books, because they're looking in modern wizards as opposed to, you know, because histories and stuff like that.
They're thinking if he's working with Dumbledore,
he's got to be
you know, from the last century or so.
Well, they're like besties according to yeah. the card. They're like the best of friends. People, let me tell you about my best friend. You know, they're besties, you know, forever. And but what was really funny is that actually when I went back and listened to this again, I chuckled at it, because Hermione's like brings on this giant book that's like a history book. Yes. And she was like, checked this out a while ago for some light reading.
Yes. In the movie, she plops down this like giant book, like as big as, I have one of those books for actually like the making of the Harry Potter movies or something. And it's ridiculous sized. And when I first got it, I was like, I look ridiculous right now.
I need that book. But that's just, so I just thought that I chuckled a little bit at it. So they go to the next day, cut forward, and they're at the Quidditch match, and Dumbledore's there, and everyone's like, whoa, Dumbledore's here. So we don't think that Dumbledore goes to a lot of matches, because why would they? If he did, they wouldn't be getting excited about it.
They make such a big deal about it.
And even Fred and George, that have been on the team for a few years, they're like, wow, Dumbledore's here. So he obviously doesn't go to a lot of Quidditch matches. It makes you wonder, why was he even at that match to begin with, though, if he doesn't go a lot? They never really say,
I would assume because Snape probably, or someone told him that there was issues with the last match.
Yeah.
I guess it wouldn't have been Snape, because they think it is Snape.
I mean, we don't know who said anything. And I don't think that ever gets resolved either.
No.
But
but I'm going to say that somehow or another they figure out.
Yeah.
Or Snape could have been like, someone lit my robe on fire.
Yeah. Hey, some people are fucking around, because remember Hermione did bring that little fire and drop it. Now, in that same sense, they're sneaking their like, wands.
Literally within this the last game, someone lit a teacher's robe on fire and knocked another teacher over.
Yep.
And a kid almost got bucked off a broom. So honestly, it could have been Snape. He could have been like, I don't know what's going on here.
But my robe caught on fire.
My robe caught on fire. This kid is up in the air falling off the broom, and this guy got knocked over. We need to come to this next match.
Yeah, you need to settle this shit down. It's getting too rowdy at these damn Quidditch matches. And you got, what's his name, Lee Jordan out here, like, talking a whole bunch of shit the whole time. So the kids, Ron and Hermione, are sneaking their wands into the stadium.
Which is why I'm confused about this, because when you're a wizard, they make it seem like you carry your wand everywhere. Are wands not allowed in the game?
Well, they had their wands at the last game because Hermione used it.
Yeah, so I don't understand why they're sneaking it in. I don't understand why they're saying they snuck it up their sleeve.
What if they, pure speculation, they just said after the last match where shit was going down, no wands?
Maybe.
And they had to sneak it in.
Maybe.
Because that's the only thing I can think of. Or they said they were putting them in their sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they want them in their sleeves so it wasn't as, they were just sneaking, I'm using quotations, in their sleeves, so that way it wasn't as
hard to get to,
like when they open a robe and reach your hand in and take out the wand. I mean, it's a little bit less. Because the reason why they're sneaking their wands is, are these 11-year-olds
have the audacity
to try to curse their professor. They said,
and Professor Snape, of all professors, who I've never even met this man, and I'm scared of him.
Like, what? Like, the guy is...
It's terrifying.
I just don't understand the audacity that these kids have to try to curse their teacher. That's nuts. These 11-year-olds. Like, if these are like 16, 17-year-olds... Maybe I'd understand a little more.
At that point, they think that they know everything, so they would. That's something that's understandable. When you're 11, you don't think you know everything.
They're having trouble.
Or you do, but you know less about what you know about, and you're still scared of adults. Well, I know that for a fact, because from coaching cheerleading, 11-year-olds are still scared of their coaches and their parents. 16-year-olds, nope.
Well,
they don't care.
They're having trouble with making a feather levitate.
Turning a rat yellow.
And they're sitting here thinking they're about to come up here and just fight their teacher.
What they're gonna do is they're gonna leg lock him like Malfoy did to Neville. That's what their plan was. They're gonna leg lock this man who's trying to curse their friend to fall off a broom.
Okay, I'm just gonna put this out. I'm gonna throw this thing because it doesn't really ruin anything or anything like that. But you can see what the last curse was, or the last thing a wand did, right? You have to know how to do it, and normally the Ministry of Magic does it. So they literally can confiscate everybody's wand.
And figure out who did it.
So the match gets underway. They already get two penalties right away. One for Fred and George hit a bludger at Snape, so I can understand that one. And the other one was for no reason at all. And during this whole time, Malfoy is talking shit to Neville and Ron, but Hermione is paying them no mind at all. She's like, she's focused on the match. She's making sure Harry's okay and nothing's happening to him, because she's ready to curse whoever is doing it. Now, at 11, I'd be okay with Hermione doing like the leg lock curse. Probably simple. Probably something Hermione can handle.
Probably not going to help anything, though, because what's that going to do? Make him fall over?
I mean, if it's a jinx and he has to keep his concentration going, then sure, that would help.
Yes, but that's like a minor thing compared to...
What could have? I mean, if Snape really wanted to take care of him...
He could take care of him.
He could take care of him. We did gloss over the fact that Harry's been having dreams about his parents' death, but that was in the beginning. I don't know why I just remember that. It wasn't in my notes, but I just remember that. Anyway, so a fight breaks out, though.
And Ron, literally, they're fighting, and Hermione's like, you're doing great, sweetie.
Yeah, keep it up.
She's paying attention to the game, and she's like, you're doing great, sweetie. Keep going.
She's basically the mom from Mean Girls at that point.
Literally.
Ron just jumps on Malfoy. He's like, fuck you, Malfoy, and starts beating the shit out of him. And then Neville takes on Crab and Glory by himself. Go, Neville.
Neville's lucky he didn't die at that moment.
Hey, these are all a bunch of 11-year-olds. I mean, let's, come on. What are they?
Yeah, but they make them seem like they're basically
16-year-olds, yes.
They're like the size of 16-year-olds taking on 11-year-old. And 11-year-olds are assholes. Did you hear about those kids in Florida who are going to sacrifice their classmates to the devil? So you don't even know what these 11 and 12 year olds can do these days. That is insanity.
I mean, listen, I don't advocate for a devil sacrifice, but I mean, we're allowed to practice our own religions here in America.
But you can't kill 11 year olds in the bathroom and drink their blood out of wine glasses.
No, I don't. Like I said, I don't advocate for it. And I'm not okay with that. I'm not okay with that at all.
You can practice your own religion as long as you're not trying to sacrifice for your classmates.
How about this? Just hail Satan all you want. No sacrificing kids.
No sacrificing anyone.
At all.
Anything.
No. Nope. Just don't do it. Look, if you need sacrifice some ants, maybe. I don't think anyone would mind that.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've all done the magnifying glass ant thing.
I have not. Do not draw me into that crowd. Wow. I did read about that. That's nuts. We need to do a whole other podcast about just random stuff. But yeah, but then during the fight, Harry catches a snitch. It was literally like under 5 minutes, right? Like the whole thing happened under 5 minutes and everyone's like, this has got to be a world record, blah, blah, blah. Well, I don't think that anyone cares about Hogwarts.
World records.
You know, Quidditch play.
No, they
but
don't.
But maybe.
I mean, it's a school record for sure. And like, that's cool. You think about that when you're at school.
Yeah. I mean, there are kids.
They have like a whole hall. We've talked about it before with Harry's dad is in it.
Yeah. There are kids, you know, there are kids all the time that break state records and score records in sports all the time. And that's awesome.
Why is there only one wizard sport?
There's wizard chess.
That's not a sport. Chess is not a sport. I'm offending people, but I don't care.
I don't know. I mean, they probably haven't figured out how to do like wizard basketball yet or anything like that.
I feel like, you know, like high school has a lot of sports and like, why are there no cheerleaders for it? Can you imagine wizard cheerleading? That'd be insane. Oh my God,
that'd be awesome. But we're not supposed to talk about cheerleading with this stuff.
We do every week.
But in the same thing though, in the same sense, it's crazy how good Harry got at riding a broom when he wasn't, you know, exposed to it as a child.
Natural talent.
That's awesome for him. I mean, I probably would suck at that. That seems like something that takes a lot of coordination and a lot of leg strength to squeeze in on the broom.
I feel like it takes a lot of confidence.
It is because you have to tell the broom, you know, up, and it has to come up into your hand. And if it doesn't, you know, you're basically that broom's bitch. You got to make that broom your bitch.
That's why Hermione wasn't ever good at it, because she had never had any confidence in it. It's the only thing that she wasn't good at, and she
went. No, can't talk about that.
Nope.
So afterwards, it's about an hour later. Harry's in the lockers, whatever, and he still has his broom. He hasn't put his broom away yet, so he goes to the broom shed to put his broom away. In that time, he sees Snape and Quirrell, or he sees Snape walking to the Forbidden Forest, right? So he gets on his broom and he flies up, and he just follows him in the air. And my thing is, like, I'm guessing brooms are silent, but I always thought there'd be like, I know they in the movies there's no indication, in the books there's no indication, but you know, I want magic.
Jonathan
to
wants
make sounds.
His broom to rev.
Yeah, that's what I want. I want my listen. If I was a wizard and I had a broom,
he would make it rev.
I would put a spell in it to make it real loud, and muggles would be like, "What the fuck is that?" They'll just assume it's a plane, but you know, it's what I want. It's my broom, and I can do what I want to it.
It's my broom, and I can make it rev if I want to.
Exactly.
I would want a silent broom.
Well, in this situation, I would definitely want a silent broom, because he follows Snape into the Forbidden Forest where him and Quirrell are arguing, right? And he wants to know about Hagrid's beast, which is Fluffy, which we already know, and about what Hocus Pocus that Quirrell put on the on whatever. We don't know what it is. Well, we know it's a stone, but. And Harry's in a tree, like listening and everything. That almost falls out of the tree because of how an owl hoots at him. So, but let's take it back a little bit. So, Quirrell is scared of Snape. So Quirrell is supposed to be the Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher. He's supposed to teach you to defend yourself against wizards like Snape, and he's scared of Snape.
Which means that a lot of people should be afraid of Snape.
So, in this situation.
But at the same time, what they're thinking is that Quirrell's scared of everything, because they always hear that Quirrell's scared of everything.
Doesn't matter. Quirrell, the guy who's supposed
to teach you, but their teacher, the teacher that's supposed to be teaching these things, is literally afraid of everything.
He's supposed to teach you how to defend yourself against this, against someone like Snape, and you're going to try to curse him?
Nope.
That just is dumb. Anyway, and that's pretty much where it ends. It's not a good look for Snape at this point. It really looks like he's really trying to get the stone, and he's threatening Quirrell, and it's just from the kid's eyes, the kids are right.
Yes.
Snape is trying to get the stone.
These kids still have audacity because they won't mind their own damn business, though.
Why can't they just go to Professor McGonagall?
I said this all throughout that stupid show, Pretty Little Liars, which I was so hooked on because I just wanted to know why don't they go to the cops? And this is how I feel about this book at this point, is why don't you just go to the teachers like normal kids?
Yeah, hey, we think this is happening to you, so.
Yeah,
but like why do? Here's the other thing. Why do they care? If all you get from this stone is metal to gold and eternal life, why do they care?
They care because they think that Snape is trying to give it to Voldemort.
Well, they don't know that yet.
I thought that's what they had already decided that.
Not yet.
Well, then they care because they don't. I don't know why they think that Snape wants it. I thought they decided that from the beginning.
No, they don't. They don't know anything yet. They don't know any of that stuff yet. Honestly, if I knew that there was a stone that did that, and there was like a deadly three-headed dog and all these different things guarding it, I'd be like, whatever, I hope he dies on the way.
I hope you're dead. I don't know why you want that thing. And why do they care?
Mm. Yeah, why do they care at this point? They know what it does. It's not like they don't know.
Yeah. Why do they care ever?
Yeah, well, that's where we're going to end today's podcast. Again, we appreciate you all tuning in. We appreciate you all waiting for this episode. It's going to go up right away.
We struggled getting through this recording too, because we got at least 80 phone calls along the way.
Oh yes. Terrell, thank you for calling, for FaceTime.
My mom called right before we hit record. I thought that we weren't recording at one point, just because I'm paranoid now that we did that, and I didn't want to start all over and have a third talk about the same chapter.
But we appreciate you all tuning in. Welcome to the new listeners. If you're new, you know, tell a friend. That's basically how we're hoping it all happens. Everyone just keeps telling their friends and we can continue to.
And Jonathan's going to give me the password to social media I've been asking this for two weeks now.
2 weeks, yes.
2 weeks, so that we can actually pay attention to what people are saying on social media, because apparently people are.
And we're not paying attention.
We are not paying attention, even though we keep asking for that.
Yes. So that's the PortKeyCast across all platforms, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Mostly join the Facebook group, because that's where we're going to have most of the discussions, but Alicia's going to take over everything, so hopefully that we can have better conversations. I work a lot. I work like 16 hours a day, so I really don't have time to
send us interesting things to talk about, so that we can extend on ideas that you have.
Yep. All right, thank you so much for tuning in.